guys, and you're welcome to episode 17 of the Breadwinners Podcast. I am your host, Pori Kilfordy. This business podcast looks into the lives of current entrepreneurs and business owners, how they have navigated their way to being the best they can be, and what really makes them tick. I look into their highs, their lows of their journey, and what helpful tips they can give. This week on the program, I'm joined by Gary B. Doherty from the Think Network. Gary is an award-winning and world-leading personal development, personal branding expert, supporting ambitious entrepreneurs, individuals, thought leaders to be seen, heard, and very visible globally. He's founder of Ireland's fastest growing empowerment platform, Think Network. His mission is to support and empower individuals to be the very best versions of themselves, hosting motivational, inspirational, and empowering speaking events like no other. Let's get into episode 17 of the Breadwinners Podcast.
You're very welcome to the Breadwinner Podcast, the very first Breadwinner Podcast for 2023 and for some time now. Yeah, well, I decided to bring them back out, and well, why not? I mean, you've got amazing guests like the one who's looking back at me. How are you doing, Gary Doherty? You're very welcome to the Breadwinner Podcast. It's great to have you here. Thanks very much for taking time out of your busy schedule. And what a way to start 2023. How are you?
I am fantastic. Thanks for having me on, Park. And I'm sorry we're only getting around to doing this now. I had wanted to do this a long time ago. We might have talked about it at one point. And it's great to be here. I'm flat out, man. I'm very busy. I'm very grateful. And long may and it will continue.
Tell us, Gary, for people that probably might not have heard of Gary Doherty, but might have heard of the Think Network, give us a bit of an introduction. What do they call it, that elevator pitch? Maybe tell us a wee bit more about you, because you've done some extraordinary stuff, Gary.
Yeah. Well, funny you say that. You know, I have really evolved over time. Think Network was conceived about 4 or 5 years ago now, 2018. Was first a thought, and the vision and the mission have always remained the same, but we've evolved in our offerings and our products, our services, and the value that we offer and who we offer it to. But the mission and the values have always remained the same, and that is to support ambitious individuals to be the very best versions they can be. And that can take many forms: public speaking, mastermind groups, PR, global media publications, TED Talks, whatever the best is for you. It could be growing your business, it could be finding your niche, it could be developing XYZ. And that's very much how we've evolved from just motivational speaking events to now working with people all over the world and placing them in big media publications. So we've very much evolved, but the mission remains the same. It's to help support ambitious individuals to be the very best versions of themselves. And we just have evolved in different ways of actually providing that value.
And I suppose that, as you've indicated, it involves a lot of different aspects as well, because the aspect, I suppose, I would have came across you would have been of the Standard Days event, you know, and you would have brought in speakers. So something that I've never seen done in the Northwest, bringing in speakers and really getting just not the run of the mill speakers as such. Yeah. Some really, really good people that think of you differently. And I suppose tell us a bit about that, because I know you started it off, and then you started to get a bit of momentum, and then you started to build it up then gradually. Talk us through that journey.
You say we had never seen anything in the Northwest. Guess what, Park? I hadn't seen anything like this anywhere, like in Northern Ireland, the UK, nowhere. I know there's, when I look back now in history and see things on YouTube, other people were doing other very commercialized events and with these strong commercial agendas. The beauty about what we did was there was no commercial agenda. I started this off as a passion product for the greater good, for the change that I wanted to see, for the motivation that I wanted to see, for the inspiration that I wanted to see and receive. I what I decided I would be the change that I wanted to see. And that doesn't make me better than anybody, or it doesn't make me any greater than anybody, but it just means I was thinking slightly differently in a period of time in our country when not many people were thinking this way, certainly. In hindsight, I've adopted a lot of American initiatives, I'm going to say, subconsciously, because I wasn't even benchmarking anybody. But I just developed something that I wanted to be part of myself, for me, for the likes of me, for like-minded people like me, for my network. And there was no financial gain, no money. And if there had been, that would have been okay. But there wasn't. It was free events. It was getting like-minded people together. It was creating that buzz, that energy, that serving mentality that I wanted to receive in my life. So I figured I need to give this out before I can receive it. And that's what I did, Porrick. And it just grew legs and it grew momentum. People started asking in between events, what now? What now? And I was like, I don't know. This is, you know, I'm learning on the go. This is a passion for me. This is just something I do. I don't even earn money. People thought I was earning money from this stuff. I was like, no, I work 10 hours a day and then I come home and do this. And then I suppose I was following my passion. And then I figured out this can be a way of life. Why not live this all the time? And then I started to monetize it, and we started to have private groups and Facebook and mastermind and accountability, and then it just took off, and it's now absolutely went through the roof big time.
Yeah, and I'm going to take you back, because you know you've covered so much there in five minutes, but for you, Gary, there's a great story behind you, and I like about people, that try to go out and do something different, they're obviously thinking a wee bit different, but there has to be a reason for that as well. Tell us about the old Gary. Tell us about the Gary that was maybe back in the day.
The old Gary, still me. You know, I've always had a very inquisitive mindset for it. I'll tell you something, right? And I hope that. And sometimes you have to be careful in Northern Ireland with the way you speak. You know, if I've been taken thinking too big, or speaking too big, or too confident, or too bright, whatever. So you know, but I remember part when I was very young, when I would have been 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. I remember looking at the successful people in our society, businessmen, and maybe where I lived, maybe hotel owners or car dealers. I used to look at these entrepreneurs, these successful people, right? And they were successful by status. They were successful, measurable means of, you know, looking at them as they were successes. And I used to think, there's nothing special about you. I could do that, and I could do it better probably in my mind, right? Mm. In my mind, I could. Whether I could or not at that stage, probably not, because I was only young. But in my mind, I was always, always, always thinking like that. I never was looking at it thinking, hating on them, or thinking you're useless, or you're greedy, or you're lucky, or anything like that. It wasn't that. It's just in my mind, I just felt I could do that standing on my head and do it better. It wouldn't have mattered what it was. When I went into a shop, or I went into a business, or I watched somebody, I was always looking at it. And I was thinking, God, it would be better that way. Or I know if I did that, I would promote it better, or I would improve it. And I always had that mindset. But guess what? I never had the courage to speak it out loud. I never had the courage to tell anybody. It stayed in here, and it lived in there, and it stayed in there from no age to right up to got married.
And suppose, like, from that aspect there, was that your ego playing a wee bit there as well? Because obviously you thought, when you think, would it be fair to say that you're thinking that you can do a lot better? But that, is that, explain that maybe to your listeners a little more about that.
I think it's just an abundant mindset. I think from a young age, subconsciously, I had an abundant mindset. And guess what? You talk about ego. Ego's okay. ego's good. We all have an ego. But as long as it doesn't go out of control. Confidence, humble confidence. That's what I needed, but I didn't have. But I still had the power of my own mind and my own thoughts, and nobody could control them, only me. So I subconsciously, I was like this unconscious competent, you know, even back then. I was thinking these abundant thoughts, didn't know how, didn't know who, didn't know if I was going to, didn't know anything really, only what I thought. But all the same, when I look back, I had that abundant mindset that I strongly feel and know is required to vibrate at a level where you not only think differently, more importantly, you act differently, and then you get different results. So I suppose I was doing that way back in the day. That was the start, if you know what I mean.
Mm. Yeah. And that was back, suppose your story beforehand, like, tell us a little bit about that, because you have a great story to tell. Probably a bit more different to what people would suspect and how you came about this. How you actually have started into, really into this aspect of abundance and
What aspect are you talking about? You mean in the property side of things back in the day? And
yeah, well, when you first started out, I suppose, in business, you had this idea. You could go a lot further than other individuals, but that led you into something else. What was that?
I was working in an electrical store as a sales manager, and that gave me the confidence to talk to people, to be myself, to achieve, to get results, and that I had that drive in me, and that nurtured that drive and confidence in me. When I was about what age? About 24. I'm 46 now, so that's about 22 years ago. And I met a guy that was coming into the retail outlet. And he was a property guy. He owned an estate agency. He owned a portfolio of properties. He was buying and letting and selling and renting and all the rest of it. And I thought that mindset again, where I was watching him, talking to him, and I was thinking, you're a great guy. You're a lovely guy. But if you can do it, I can definitely do it. You know what I mean? And I was watching how he operated and the success he was having. And I was thinking, we're no different. But you're achieving huge success in your life, and I'm in a 95, and anybody listening to this, that's okay if you're happy, because happiness is the goal, really, you know, for me, and if people are happy, that's great. But I wasn't, not really deep down, I wasn't fulfilling my potential. So I just got to build a relationship with this man. I learned how to get on the property ladder. At that stage, it wasn't that difficult. You just needed to not be risk averse. It was easy to get the mortgages and so on and so forth. So I delved into that world and acquired a vast property portfolio in a short space of time, and actually bought his business from him. Bought the estate, bought him out of his estate agency. I started a foreign property sales and letting business. I started I was a partner in a financial services business. We enjoyed two years of great success. Bubble burst, property, the property markets went upside down. I wasn't that clever in terms of how I would have used money or created wealth from making money. I wasn't that clever in that area. I had the ability to make money, but not to create wealth from money that I made. And so we lost everything. 30 plus properties, my home, 3-4 vehicles, everything, lost everything. And that was that story for it, really.
just like that. And suppose the reason I asked you those questions is because obviously a lot of learnings from that, a lot of takeaways and different things that you probably, would be fair to say, you wouldn't be where you are without those learnings now.
No, I'm glad it happened. Honestly, I'm grateful it happened, because it was, as much as I was entrepreneurial and opportunistic and not risk averse, and I did well. I feel that it was a very artificial environment for me to do well in. It wasn't sustainable for anybody, no matter how clever you were. And I feel that I didn't handle making a lot of money in a short space of time too well, in terms of my own lifestyle and my own temperament and my own attitude. And I sort of lost my way a wee bit that way. I wasn't the best version of me. I wasn't listening to people I should have been listening to. I thought I knew best. Sure, why not? Everything you touch is turning to gold. I felt that I was right all the time. I felt that there was no end to this success. Everything I touched was going to work, and it did, until it didn't. So I learned so many life lessons, Park, you know, personally and professionally, about myself as a husband, as a father, as a friend, as a confidant, as a businessman. I learned loads and loads of lessons, and I'm grateful for it, and thank God for it.
We're unpacking a lot of stuff here on the Breadwinners podcast, and Gary, thanks for being so open and honest, as I say, because, you know, it's grand to actually talk about certain things that has gone well in life, but things that haven't gone so well, there's learnings in that too. And that journey, I suppose, you know, people that probably are just starting to watch our podcast tonight, you know, understanding that, you know, I'm always a person to see what other aspects you could learn from someone from that time. So if you're looking back now on that journey, what would you tell yourself from the position you are in now?
Remain humble. Continue to believe in yourself. Confidence is okay. Remain confident. Have your self-belief. Be open to collaboration. Be open to knowing and accepting that you're not always right and often aren't. Being open to and accepting that there are many, many, many people better than you in different areas of any business, including mine right now. You know, I'm the least valuable person or the least skilled person in lots of areas of my business. But I have realized that ego doesn't play a part. You know, you should be surrounded by people that are technically and much cleverer than you in areas that you need those people in, and that you can give them value and they give you value. And I think I didn't really fully appreciate that part back in the day, you know. I thought I was the best at everything, from marketing to selling to business development to recruitment to hiring to, you know, you name it, and I knew it, you know what I mean? And when really I knew very little. Really, I just had a vision and a mission and the drive and the determination to go and make things happen. And I'm a very different person today. I wasn't a bad person then, but I'm a wiser person today.
Mm-hmm. And that suppose that comes with experience too, because you're a wiser person. You see your grandfather as well, so you know there's just a bit of that.
Yeah, beautiful man, beautiful. It's a beautiful moment for me and my family. You know, we're very grateful, and we're very grateful for the good fortune that we have in our life. And hasn't always been this way. You can imagine the trials and tribulations that I went through in 2009 when everything went upside down. And I worked tirelessly for 10 years, believing in myself when nobody else did. Well, very few did. Believing in myself when all I had was a dream and a wing and a prayer. But it didn't matter as long as I believed in me. You know what I mean? As long as I believed in me.
And where do you think that came from for you to keep grinding out, keep going? Tell me a bit about that.
Well, the belief in me really stemmed from my wife and my father-in-law. They believed in me. They believed in me and gave me that sort of. I sort of borrowed that belief and affirmed it to myself over time, and eventually believed it myself. You know, so somebody else believed in me first. But that grind and all the rest of it, you know what I'm going to tell you, Porrick? I believe a lot of us, if not all of us, are born with that. But guess what? Some people aren't aware that they have that resilience in them, that ability to keep going no matter what. And that's when they mentally give up, when they don't actually have their self-worth isn't at a level where they believe in themselves to keep going. I believe that that resilience is deep inside everybody, somewhere. But some people give up. They don't either believe in themselves. They don't believe they have that, you know. And I'm proof, in my eyes anyway, that it is deep down because I didn't always believe in me. You know what I mean? And I borrowed that belief, and I suppose that unearthed the resilience in me to keep going. I don't know any other way. I don't know how to quit. And that doesn't make me the best winner ever. I'm not saying that, even though I am. But you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know any other way, Park.
I'm going to lock something here because, you know, as I say, there is a few aspects that some people should know. Like you brought TEDx to Derry City, you know, huge achievement. Ulster Tamler Businessman of the Year, huge achievement. Think Network, huge achievement as well. But where did you get TEDx? Is a huge brand across the world, and bringing that to Northern Ireland and the South as well. I suppose there's a lot of people from around the border areas as well get that opportunity to put themselves on an international scale, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Where the bloody hell did you get this idea you're going to bring that?
Man, do you want to know something? You know, when anybody listening to this here will not be surprised. When I said that when I was younger, that inquisitive mind, that looking at things and thinking and wondering and, you know, dreaming and allowing myself to go there in my mind, you know, I remember I had a mentoring session with a guy that was mentoring me at the time, and one of his bucket list things to do was a TED Talk, right? And in conversation, he said to me, I'm going to do a TED Talk, and all the rest of it. Now, at this stage, I had never public spoke before. I'm going back 8 years or whatever it was. I still don't look at myself as a public speaker, even though I speak publicly. Do you know what I mean? I do it when something buzzes me, when something I'm motivated by, something I want to get involved in. But I'm not one of those circuit speakers that loves being invited and speaking all over the place for no reason other than just to be speaking again. I'm not that guy. You know what I mean? I've turned down a lot of speaking stuff recently because it's just not adding value for me and I don't have the desire to do it. I do it at universities and different things now and again when I float my boat. But so anyway, we were talking about TED Talks and it was just like a thing. It was like a pipe dream. And I said, wow. I said, what a dream that would be. And then he said, you should do it too. And then I was sort of a bit bravado. I just went, all right then, stick it down there as a goal. Sure, I'll do one too. Right? And it was, that was it out of my mouth. Right? And guess what? The same guy has never done one and I've done two. You know what I mean? And then all the rest of the TED stuff with it. But, just see when something gets my attention. And the more I thought about it, the more when I started to speak about it, it started to come on my radar more. I started to notice it more. I started to think about it more. Like, for anybody listening to this, you know, if you go and change your car and you're driving home and that, say it's a black Volkswagen Golf, what do you start noticing on the road? More black Volkswagen Golf.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's in your conscious awareness, right? So we started talking about TEDx. So I started then noticing that speaker, that event, you know, that viral talk. I started noticing these things because I was thinking about them. I was consciously aware of them, blah, blah, blah. And I started then turning up at events. TEDx Stormont was the only one in Northern Ireland really doing anything at the time. Eva Grossman, big shout out to her. Even though we've drifted, she was still an inspiration for me at the time. And I turned up at these events, sat in the back row. Nobody knew me. And I just took it in. And then I started to think, I'm going to do one of these someday. And then I started to think, I wonder if there ever been one in Derry. So then I researched it. 26 years, never had been one. And then I inquired why, and they told me it had been so many failed applicants. They hadn't got the messaging right. The application wasn't good enough, basically. So I thought, I just made a decision one day, Park, I swear to you now, I said to my wife, and I said to anybody who was listening to me, I'm going to bring that to Derry. I'm going to do that. 100%. 100%. No ifs, buts. I'm not going to try. I'm not going to wish. I'm not going to apply. I'm not going to hope. I'm not going to attempt. That's all negative language. That's all. I'm not about that. I just said, I'm doing it.
I think I remember that. I think I remember you saying that too.
I swear to God, that's a God's honest truth. And I started to put the whole Think and Grow Rich and Napoleon Hill stuff into practice. I hired a photographer. I went to the Guild Hall. I got a photo shoot done where I was going to host the first event. I bought a red jumper, a Ralph Lauren jumper I was wearing. It cost me a fortune. And it was red for the red dot. And that was me visualizing, man, honestly. And I had the pictures on my phone. I even bought a red dot. I bought a damn red dot. I bought the red letters and everything. I have them here in my roof space now. And that's the sort of the links I was going to. And this is before anybody knew a damn thing about it. Nobody knew a thing. Nobody knew what was happening. There was no event.
You know, how important do you think that is if someone's got an idea or they've got something that they want to do? It might not be business. It might be something else. It could be a triathlon, marathon, whatever it might be. How important do you think it is to get yourself right, first of all, and tune that you're actually going to do that? Or
it's everything. It's everything. It's a waste of time otherwise. You must have the desire. It's like me at the minute. I have a holiday booked right for July. I need to get to the gym, right? I want to be the most in shape 47-year-old walking about that island on the 12th of July when I go for 2 weeks, right? And I will be. I have now got the desire to go to the gym because I have something, an achievement that I want to achieve. You must have the desire. You must be emotionally connected with the desire. Otherwise, you're going to give up at the first sign. Otherwise, you're going to look for a plan B. Otherwise, you're going to look for a door to open the room. You're going to look for a way out. I don't have any ways out in my life. I don't want any. There are none.
So would you tell me now, I'm going to book the photo shoot and we're going to have all that together, all ready to go. When July time?
Listen, there are not many people as crazy as me, so I'm not saying my way is the right way, but it's the right way for me.
Mm. Tell us about the, we touched on the different aspects of the Think Network, how you set it up, and obviously the first step was putting it out there about TEDx and TED Talks, you'd say, yeah, bringing that to Darien, which was a huge achievement, and the different people that you've empowered now to move on with their journey and different aspects, I suppose. Tell us a little bit about that, because you bring world speakers to your networks and things like that. So tell us a wee bit about that as well.
Yeah, that's one of the most fulfilling parts of what I do, Warwick, to be honest with you. Like, you just touched on the TEDx thing there. Do you know what my proudest achievement, other than getting the license and bringing it to the city first time ever, and then we went on and broke all records over a pandemic, most successful event in the world, most successful coach in the world, most successful organizer in the world, all everything, right? We broke everything that you could imagine, every record. And but the most fulfilling thing for me regarding the TEDx, and it really goes back to my values about supporting other people to be the very best versions of themselves. And I'm very in line with my values and what I do, you know, with the business and what the actions and the service that we provide. Go back to the TEDx, was the youth event. We did a TEDx youth event and we uncovered 19 TEDx speakers from the county of Derry. Second time in the whole of Ireland's history. The first time in Northern Ireland's history was there a youth event in Northern Ireland, and we partnered with Young Enterprise, Carol Fitzsimmons. Big shout out to Carol. The event wouldn't have been possible without her. And we broke all barriers. We went to all communities, all schools that wanted to be involved were involved. There were special needs. There was Catholic schools. There were Protestant schools. There was integrated schools. You name it. Everybody was involved. And it was the most watched youth event in Europe over the pandemic. It's a legacy, you know, that's legacy. That's forever. Those young people, Porrick, were 16 when they'd done their TED Talk. And if they all live a good life and live to 70 plus, whatever it may be, they're 50 and 60 years on the TEDx YouTube channel with 35 million people listening to their talk. and making their families proud and making them proud and making their community proud and making their school proud. That's fulfillment for me. And that made it all worthwhile. That's my proudest achievement with TEDx. Not my own talks. I did two talks, and one of them I give a damn about because it was personal to me. The other one I don't care about. That's the one that went viral, go figure. But, and the second proudest achievement was my daughter doing it. Inspired and motivated my daughter, created a pathway for her to come and do it too. So they're my two proudest achievements.
And was that something you ever thought you would think that would be your proudest achievement today?
Proudest achievement regards to TEDx. No. When I started off, it was about doing a TED talk of my own. That bucket list item, I'll do a TED talk. Then it was about bringing TEDx to the city. That would have been the two proudest achievements. But my own TED talk pales in the significance, really, with it all, because I'm proud of it, but it's not my proudest achievement. You know, we're stronger together, and when you can have 19 people doing TED talks, it's much more fulfilling than doing one yourself, especially if you're in it for the right reasons, like I was, you know.
It's a bit more crack too, plenty of nerves floating about. It's something to look back on. I suppose if you just join us, you're listening to the Redwater Podcast with myself, Corey Coffey, and Gary B. Doherty. Where'd you get the B from? Is that for Barry, is it, or something? Or Brian?
Best. Brian. My father's called Brian. And for social media reasons and technical reasons that will bore everybody, it's best to have my middle name with a full stop. There's a Gary Doherty that used to play football for Norwich. Do you remember him?
I do, yeah.
Sure, Gary. He takes up my space in Google, you see, when people search. So for SEO purposes, being Gary Doherty is a pain, because you won't find me. I'm down the list on him. So, but there's only one Gary B. Doherty, and so when people type that in now, which they will when they see your name, and that's what I'm called in all articles, then they find what I'm doing.
So stepping on, I know this is late in the evening we're recording this, but your wife's going to kill you. We're going to try and get you off. Suppose
all good.
Us Northwest men, we love to talk and talk.
Yeah.
From that, the Think Network really got legs, and suppose people that might just be tuning in, just wondering, where is this all going? There is a story, I promise you. You stepped it up then with the Think Network, and tell us about some of the speakers that you brought, and tell us about some of the knowledge that you brought as well, because you continue to do that.
Yeah, the events, very early we realised that the events should all be themed, right? Speakers should be speaking on, you know, different things, and things that we're passionate about. Again, it went back to what did I want to be involved in? What did I want to hear? So we came up with things like resilience, self-confidence, you know, self-belief, different things. Hope was another one, even though when I look back, I wish I hadn't used that, but we did. Hope, self-belief, self-confidence, resilience, inspiration, motivation. You know, we had all these themes. And the speakers, again, I looked around for it in the world. Who did I want to listen to? Who was buzzing me from afar? And I figured I'd trust my intuition and think, well, if I'm into this sort of stuff and I'm really enjoying them and they have a good story, $300 or $400 people might enjoy this too, right? So I was going to my own intuition. And then obviously we want the events to be as inclusive and diverse as possible. So we look at different genres, genders, expert areas, industries, and all the rest of it. And I always looked at who was the standout, who was the thought leader, who was really making an impact. And those are the people that I approached, in Northern Ireland initially. And then we worked our way out. With Northern Ireland, we had people like singer-songwriter Brian Kennedy, who has, had cancer battles on and off, and who was a gay man in Belfast, the height of the Troubles, and it wasn't an easy thing to do to come out at that time. He talks about it very freely. We've had everybody. We've had all the influencers and all the rest of it, you know.
And as I say, suppose that aspect is you've moved that on another gear as well. You have your own YouTube channel as well, interviewing some of the great minds around the world. But also, you touched on it earlier on there about Think and Grow Rich. Tell us a story about that, because that's quite interesting.
Yeah, Think and Grow Rich really came from my, again, the inquisitive nature, talking to people in the personal development. And then I met a lady called Cleona O'Hara. Do you know Cleona?
I do, yeah. Know of her, yeah.
You know Aubrey, you should bring her on your podcast. She would be a great mind for your audience, and she would, you know, she brings a very holistic approach to business and personal development and mindset growth, and she's very successful, and she would have a lot of wisdom and for your audience, much more than I would have in that area. But it's something that Cleona came on my radar. She was investing in companies in Derry at the time. She's from Derry. I was rising in Derry with the TEDx Derry stuff. Cleona then came and spoke at one of my events. I built a relationship with her over time. She was working for Bob Proctor at the time. She was very big with Napoleon Hill stuff. And she introduced me to Think and Grow Rich. She sent me the classic edition. I don't have it at hand here. It's probably behind me. It's up there in the top shelf.
And
she introduced me to Think and Grow Rich. That was really the first personal development book I read. I read it 10 times since. 8 in audio, and I'll read it another 10. And that really planted the seeds of the principles of success, let's say, desire, faith, auto-suggestion, all that fun stuff. And that's where my passion and interest in Think and Grow Rich began. And I sense my TED Talk was inspired by Think and Grow Rich, my first TED Talk. I featured in their magazine. I'm now friendly with the CEO of the foundation, and watch this space. You never know what I would be up to regarding that in the near future. And when I'm talking something big as well.
So we have a bit of an exclusive there. Going to have a bit of a chat.
This will be really, really big, potentially bigger than anything I've ever done.
Tell me, all very exciting stuff, and. You know, you kind of touched on maybe two or three points there that I'm looking back to where you were in 2008, 2009, to where you are now. There's a huge message in that, is there?
Yeah. I think, you know, never give up. You know, never give up. Believe in yourself, even if nobody else does. Learn lessons from your mistakes. Mistakes aren't failures. They're mistakes. They're temporary. Nothing lasts forever, not even this life. You know what I mean? Nothing lasts forever. You know, move through it. I think it was Winston Churchill said, but I think he stole it from somebody as well. They talk about if you're going through hell, keep going. You know, nothing lasts. You will go through it. Go through it and move through it and grow through it and keep learning. Surround yourself with the right people. Make sure that you're not taking opinions from everybody. I don't take opinions from anybody. I take advice from people that I value who have got expert knowledge or wisdom in a certain area. I don't actually take advice from not a single person. It's not advice. Everybody's advice. Everybody's got something to say. I'm not advice opinions. I mean, I don't take listening opinions of people. I take advice from valued confidants and people that are experts in certain areas. And they're big lessons for me, you know. Stay humble as well, and keep believing.
And talk to me before we let you go as well. You're doing a lot on social. I suppose you have to. How do you deal with all that?
What's that part? I missed the start of that.
On the social aspect, you put yourself out there quite a lot, and I know that you said it can be difficult at times.
Social media is a beautiful tool. It is a necessary part of modern business, particularly if you have an online business. It is essential if you are the figurehead of a business or a solo entrepreneur to start with. It's essential. The people that don't embrace it for me are missing a trick and eventually do come around to embracing it. And there's very few people that are very, very successful that don't use it. Very few. And if they don't, somebody else does it for them. So I realized probably about 4 years ago, I just had a strategy of throwing the kitchen sink at it. That's how I remember that turn of phrase that I used. Throw the kitchen sink at it. Be omnipresent. Be everywhere so you can't be missed. Now, it's a very crude strategy, right? But guess what? Worked for me, right? Now, what I would say is, as time developed and you have more resources and you build your personal brand, you can become clever with being on social media. You can have, like, for example, I let everybody know this right now, on our Think Network social media, I don't run it. I don't even have a login for any of the accounts. Not the Think Network, not the Facebook, not the Twitter, not the Instagram. I post on the LinkedIn social media page because it's attached to my personal page, but I don't post on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook ever. And I haven't done for about 18 months. My daughter looks after it now. My daughter works in the company now. You know, so.
And that's good to have a pair of hands like that to help you out. No doubt she understands it a lot better than us guys, anyway, I would say.
Well, she does. She certainly understands it more than me. I know, I don't know about you, but she understands it more than me. And, you know, she's my eyes and ears online and on Think Network. She has her finger in the pulse. She listens to me, not preaching, or maybe she would say preaching. She listens to me, my mission and vision every day. We talk every day, all the time about this. Anything going out is a fair representation of my vision. And she represents it very, very well. And for us, it's about putting out positive content into the world, empowering content, celebrating other individuals, creating events, creating opportunities, giving people a voice. And we do it very well, and my daughter executes that online even better than I could.
And what has been the obstacles, Gary, before I let you go? Because there's bound to be some obstacles there.
Well, yeah, you know, would you be surprised if I told you money wasn't one of them? Well, even when you don't have the money.
Yeah.
Right? When you now, people listening to that, there's a lot. When you don't, money wasn't the obstacle. And still isn't the obstacle now that we have more resources, you know, because without going into too much detail, I always wondered what it would be like if I had X amount of pound, what would I do in the business? Would I do this, 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 and this, right? And then when you have it, you don't know what to do with it in your business. So money's not the obstacle. It's not even the solution sometimes, because... You know, the biggest obstacle I have found growing as a business, and I still find it, is developing the systems and processes, the contacts, the methodology that works to scale and grow efficiently. They are the obstacles from, you know, growing a business like this. Because there's so many people in the world looking to take lots of money for funnels and ads and all that stuff. And I've spent fortunes in the last year and lost fortunes. And it's getting that right. It's not the barrier, but it's the challenge. It's the ongoing challenge. The proper systems and processes and trusted people to grow efficiently like I am and I will continue to.
Well, Gary, it's been a phenomenal story. And as I say, thanks very much for joining me on the very first Breadwinner podcast. I had it out before during the pandemic, and then due to different aspects, we suppose we had to reevaluate everything. But it's been great to get you on. It's been also enlightening, I suppose, for some of our viewers and our listeners who are listening to the content as well about, you know, the journey that you've been on. We could chat for another hour. But you did give some tips before you left. Earlier on, you give them out, but anything else, maybe give us your top three.
I'll tell you what, make sure you're digesting the right material. Look behind me, you'll see nothing but good material that I take in through my eyes and my ears. in through your five senses. What are you taking in? Stay away from news. Stay away from newspapers. Stay away from that crap. Stay away from people that gossip. Stay away from negativity. Stay away from trolls. Stay away from, you know, he said, she said. Stay away from, you know, people that bring your vibration down. I don't care if that's family. Stay away from them. Minimize your time with them. You are number one. Look after you. You are the most important person in your life. You know, we're not great at saying that for, you know, in Northern Ireland over history. Well, I recognize that. And guess what? When I am the best me, I can be the best father, the best husband, the best son, the best friend, the best business partner. You know what I mean? So be selfish with yourself. Don't be selfish as a person. Be selfish with your own self-care. Look after yourself. I read a lot, but not enough. And I'll tell you something, expressing gratitude and a gratitude journal. I'm not that wishy-washy where I'm all fluffy, air clouds about it. I write it down. I write it down like a scientist. I write down why I'm grateful for it, what I'm grateful for, and why I'm grateful for it. Not just what I'm grateful for. Everybody, I could tell you I'm grateful for having X amount of pound, but why? Why am I? Because it wasn't always like that. I remember the days where I was living off £20 a day. I remember them taking my house away. I remember them taking my car away. I remember having going through an insolvency. I remember having nothing. You know what I mean? That's why I said gratitude. So go deep with your gratitude. And also one other thing, affirmations. They are the biggest thing in my life in personal development. I write down like a scientist things that I'm intending to do. And I write down in detail how I'm going to feel. Until the hairs on my hands stand up, and I write that down religiously. And so when I drift from it, I realize I've drifted from it because I experience a bit of doubt or a bit of, and then I go back to my practice, you know, and get myself into that vibration. So affirmations, gratitude, and be careful who you're listening to and what you're listening to and what you're reading.
Three huge tips, Kerry. Be dirty, not fippler. But the man who's going to have the six pack come July, we can't wait to see the before and afters. No pressure now. Look, guys, thanks very much for jumping on. It's been a blast. I only knew that. So thanks for joining us on the Breadwinners podcast. Where can people find you first before we finish up?
Two main places for me, probably LinkedIn or Instagram. Gary B. Doherty Official on Instagram and Gary B. Doherty on LinkedIn. They're the two places I'm most responsive to. Not Think Networks pages. you will get me, but you'll not get me directly.
I'm sure they'll find you. Thanks, Gary. Thanks for joining us on the Breadwinners podcast.
Everybody, thank you.